Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's draft day, and we are ready to go all morning long. I know we've still got a little over 10 and a half hours to go until things officially get started in Detroit for the 2024 NFL Draft, but we're looking at absolutely every single angle of it. Who could trade up? Who might trade back? Who's going quarterback? How many go in the first round? Offensive linemen, where do they go? Who's the first one? How many in the first round? So many different things to think about. And that's for the first round as a whole. We're not even getting into what your specific team may do as well. Our own BetQL Daily mock draft. We'll get through as many picks in the first round as we can later in the third hour of the show, right around 11:20 Eastern. Matthew Friedman at the top of that third hour, 11 a.m. Eastern from Fantasy Life, to give us his angles on tonight's first round of the NFL draft. Jason LaConfora, Odyssey NFL Insider, released his one and only mock draft for the Washington Post yesterday. How does he think things shake out, especially with quarterbacks at the top of this draft, once we get past Caleb Williams to Chicago and Jaden Daniels to Washington? Got to talk about what the Heat did in Boston last night. Got to talk about OKC New Orleans, plus everything else going on in the NBA playoffs. Three big games tonight, including an opportunity for the Knicks to go up 3-0 on the Sixers in Philly. Can they do that? They're not favored to. Cam Smith will join us from BetMGM's live on the line at 10 Eastern to talk about all of it here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski. I'm Chris Mack, and you can listen to us wherever you may be in the world on your Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. We didn't even touch on defensive players, guys. We spent the whole first segment naturally talking about who goes third, who goes sixth. Is it McCarthy ahead of May? Do the Patriots trade out of three? Who trades up to that spot if it's not the Giants? Is it Minnesota? Is it Denver? And we didn't even get to who the first defensive lineman or edge player off the board could be. It's still almost even money where I'm looking anyway for it to be Dallas Turner, plus 105. Dallas Turner, the edge rusher, we've seen him mocked over and over and over again, Joe, to the Atlanta Falcons at 8. Byron Murphy, though, plus 175. Leiatu Latu, plus 180. So right there about even with Byron Murphy in most spots. Jared Verse, who was getting a lot of smoke earlier in the draft process, the edge out of Florida State, all the way back at 40-1. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out and where these players go. It seems like 8 is the spot where the defensive side of the draft starts anyway with Atlanta.
Maybe. I've got another possibility there with Atlanta, but that's okay. What everybody has plugged in there for quite some time. Now, it's not, I don't see it being Turner. He's been falling. Anybody paying attention? Mm-hmm. That's what everybody's been saying in the know. Verse has taken a free fall. There was a time when people were mocking Verse in that 8-9 range, and now I see him in the latter half of the first round. If you're telling me to make a pick, my pick is Byron Murphy for the first defensive player drafted, but the problem is the value's being, it's just so gone on this. It's just so shot. However, if you strongly believe in it, is it worth a bet with the information that we have at this moment at nearly 2-1? It probably is. It feels like, oh man, I wish I had the 3, you know, when it was like 4 or 5 in that range. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you learn more, you hear more opinions, and these are people in the know in the industry talking to a lot of people. So I would consider Murphy to be the pick there. There is another defensive angle I would go, but if I'm just making a pick, if I'm just making a bet, yeah, it's not the best of the number, but I would go Murphy.
I think it's interesting that it could be Dallas Turner all along, the, you know, SEC player of the year. I like Schrager's thoughts there that, you know, Maybe that's what they do. The Falcons go defense because obviously they don't need offensive there. It might not be the smartest decision for them. But then Brugler has the Jets making a trade and grabbing Malik Nabers there. So maybe you just go with whatever, you know, the better plus money is, because it doesn't seem like anyone knows for sure.
See, it's, so there's two.
Nabers ahead, is go. Falling. I don't know why, but Nabers is falling this morning. Like I've seen some people saying him at 9. I'm like, if he's here at 9, you don't want to be here in the morning. We're going to, if the Bears draft Caleb Williams and Malik Nabers at 1 and 9,
yeah,
what the hell? I'm going to change my, wow. I'll be all over some Bears futures. I'll tell you that much.
There's a couple angles to that thought, Aaron. One is I don't see Nabers sliding that far either. I could see Adunze sliding just a little bit if the Bears decide to go defense at 9, which wouldn't totally shock me. And you know Chicago better than I do, Joe. But given that they went out and got Keenan Allen in the offseason, I think you look at Adunze and say, okay, this is a plug-and-play guy, plug-and-play starter at receiver. Do we have enough snaps to go around if we can? Is that the what we want to go get at 9 if we can use that draft capital on an impact defensive player instead? That's where I go with the Nabers Adunze line of thinking. I think Nabers goes, if not 5 to the Chargers, where they've got to be starving for a wide receiver, then certainly somebody moves up and takes him. If it's not the Giants staying put at 6 taking him, if it's not Tennessee considering it, if Joe Alt has gone earlier, I can see multiple spots for Nabers. I don't think he ever gets to Atlanta 8 or certainly Chicago 9. Adunze, I could see sliding a good bit if he doesn't go to Chicago at 9. Back to the defensive angle of this, though. And if Byron Murphy is the play, and I like that, I'll include it in lightning bets earlier, but I'll mention it right now as well. I do like it, even though the value may not be what it once was, close to 2 to 1. I'll take Byron Murphy as the first defensive lineman slash edge to go in the draft. I think he goes 8 to Atlanta. I think the Dallas Turner, what we've seen in the cooling off for him, does lead him to fall down the board. I could see Dallas Turner falling all the way into the teens. Like, I could see Latu going ahead of him. You know, Jerhan Newton is another name that's popped up who is catching some late steam. Maybe not on the odds boards, but definitely I've seen his name pop up more in mocks towards the teens. Maybe not as high as, like, 14, 15, but it's up there. I just think it's interesting. You have to look at how each team stacks up. Now, Atlanta, for instance, could Atlanta use another edge? Sure, they could. They could go Latu. They could even go Dallas Turner. That could still be the pick. Jared Verse is an outside shot. But I think they need to bolster more inside on the defensive front, and that's why I think Byron Murphy ends up being the play there for them. That's what's interesting to me is how teams want to build, because we talked about this toward the end of the regular season, how it has taken a turn toward defense in the last couple of years. I think teams want to be able to use interior defensive players who can not only stuff the run, but can get after the quarterback. That dual skill set, if you can do both, then a defense can be balanced without having to take big men off the field and in passing situations. I think you see guys like Byron Murphy, Newton is another one that I mentioned. Those are the kind of guys that can do that. It's not a pure edge rusher who just lines up, pins his ears back, and goes after the quarterback.
Yeah. The other defensive move that I would make is, if you look at number of defensive players drafted in the – no, I'm sorry, defensive line slash edge in the first round, number 6.5, heavily juiced to the under. But we just named 4 locked-in guys, and you threw a couple of others out there. Turner, Verse, Murphy, Latu, locked in, probably first half of the first round. But they're definitely going in the first round, right? So now we're at 4, and you need 3 more to get to the over. I have Chop Robinson going first round. 94% of mocks have him going in the first round. I'm with that. You mentioned Newton. He's mocked around 26, 27. Probably. Not a lock, but most likely So now we're at 6. We need one more for the over, and it's heavily juiced to the under. And then you add Darius Robinson. So you're giving me 2-1, and I need to get to that 7 number. Now, it's not a possibility where there's going to be 8. I don't see that. But we got to get to 7. I think we can. Since you're giving me 2-1 odds, I'm still with that bet. D-line edge over 6.5.
I like that. I think it also lines up to like another defensive bet that I like. I wouldn't bet it, but it does seem like the number of corners is probably going under 5.5. It's heavily juiced, but I don't think there's room for over 5.5 corners with all the edge in the other defensive players, plus all the quarterbacks and receivers too. I don't think there'll be that many corners in the first round.
I struggle, guys, to get to 4 or 5 corners.
Four.
Like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, Arnold from Alabama, and that's a lock first round. Who Mitchell from Toledo?
Mitchell, like, those Kool-Aid, are all. I think he'll locked. Get in.
I think Kool-Aid's late first round. You know, if he slides down to a Baltimore and they jump on it, I wouldn't be surprised. But if I'm Baltimore and I'm sitting there and I've got a choice between, say, Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid McKinstry, which is a possibility, I think about versatility. DeJean a little more versatile. He can line up inside the formation. He can play as a little bit more of a hybrid safety, nickelback at times. McKinstry, just an outside corner. I want him to run with receivers all over the field. And we didn't even mention Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, who's a borderline guy as well. So there's a lot of borderline, I think, in the corner market once you get to especially 4, but even 3, I think, Joe. 3 corners in the first round is – I'm not totally sold on that. If 2 go early, Detroit sitting there late in the first round, I think they have to go corner. But if the ones they like go off the board, I mean, could we get through the first round with less than 4 corners? I think that's a possibility.
Yeah, they should move the number. This is stupid. Like, if you want to entice some action, it's -400 on the under 5.5. Who's betting that? I'm not.
Exactly.
I mean, because stupid things happen. Like Rake Straw, projected 40, 41. But, you know, there could be a team that loves him 8, 9 picks higher, and then your -400 bet's a loser. So not going there.
There's one other one that I can't get past as just I don't get it. And I mentioned it earlier in the week just in passing, but I looked at it again this morning and I talked about Rome Odunze, who I feel like the draft for him starts at 9. Unless there's something weird that happens where, you know, Tennessee or Atlanta decides they have to add a receiver to the mix. Maybe. But the draft for Rome Odunze starts at 9, whether Neighbors slides or not. And the over-under on his position is 8.5. And it's even money on the over, at least where I'm looking. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't see Odunze going any earlier than 9.
I wrote that too. I think 9 or 10. That's one of my favorites. The over 8.5 for Odunze.
I can Odunze see Odunze
or Odunze. Can we get a formal pronunciation on this guy's last name? Because I've heard both.
Odunze has a little more, you know, cachet, right? Like Rome Odunze.
Yes.
That's stupid. I don't know what I'm talking about. I could see him slide all the way to Denver at 12, Joe.
I don't know which team's taken him before 9, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible, but I could see the slide. So as long as we're talking about receivers, we've talked about this a lot with our guests, that number of 6.5, it is heavily juiced to the under. And I understand that Harrison Neighbors Dunes, whatever. 3. You got the 3. I'm pretty sure that Brian Thomas is going. Now, there's injury concern there, but now you're at 4. And like I had mentioned, it's probably going to be decided by the end, like Buffalo, KC, San Francisco, what are those teams going to do? But you have the 2 Texas guys. Are they going to go? If they do, with Mitchell and Worthy, if they do, now you're at 6, and then we get to McConkey. I think it's worth a shot. Because of the price you're getting at nearly 3-1, I see a +290 out there on over 6.5 receivers. I understand why the under is the favorite. If you're asking me to make a prediction, I would say under 6.5. But because it's 3-1 and it's probably going to come down to the very end there, I think there is a chance we get a run on receivers there and it ends up going over.
I like that also because of the value. And maybe people think like historically, you know, don't draft a receiver too high. One will fall. You can get, you know, from a front office perspective, wait. But I could all these great receivers that this does go over. And I like that at plus 240.
Yeah, I think the hinge point on receiver is the team in my backyard. I don't expect them to go receiver first round. But that possibility exists. If there's a run on offensive linemen and there isn't one that the Steelers like at 20, I could see them going receiver. And like I said, that's the hinge point. Because if they go with, you know, let's say they go with Mitchell there, you know, would that shock anybody? You know, Thomas is available. And then after that, Cowboys could go receiver. Tampa could go receiver. We know Buffalo almost has to go receiver. Almost has to go receiver. How much do these teams value that second tier of receivers in the late third of the first round? Or do they all look at it together and say, eh, we'll wait for tomorrow because it's receiver and it's a deep class? All of these things, I probably just dropped like 13 cliches in the last 30 seconds. Speaking of which, a drinking game for every cliche next right here as we go off the board on BetQL Daily.